Good day to the point, listeners. Hey, guess who it is? It's producer Ryan coming to you again. Are you guys loving this as much as I am? Because I am loving it a lot. Look, I've got a couple announcements to make for this week's episode, who, by the way, was phenomenal. Like, this was live at RoofCon. John Dye. What a great episode. But look, before we get into it, let me give you a couple announcements. Chris is still traveling, but he will be at Pantheon in LA from April 20th to 22nd. And Jeff Boab will be at American Contractor Summit. Speaking of which, John Dye is holding the American Contractor Summit April 21st through 22nd, both in-person and virtual access. So no reason not to go. Look, for those of you that want to go in person, it's in Indianapolis. For those of you that want to stay home, chill on the couch, it's right there online. Now, where do you sign up? You sign up at AmericanContractorSummit.com. One more time, AmericanContractorSummit.com. Now, let's get into this week's episode.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast, along with my co-host, The Jeff, live at RoofCon 2021. This is like, what, our fifth podcast we've done since we've been here?
Yeah, it's the fifth, but I am super excited about this one.
Yeah, man. Like, I met this guy at International Roofing Expo, our guest. Great human being. We connected instantly, which is really cool.
It was really weird. I'm just saying.
I didn't say intimately. I said instantly. That would be you, Jeff. You're the one that connects intimately. Wait. Not saying that's you, John. Just saying that's Jeff. My bad. But I'm excited to have him on the show because he's been in the roofing space quite a while. Great history. He comes from my hood, my old hood. He's another Indiana boy. Shout out to all my Hoosiers. Brother.
Are you another Hoosier? What is up with the Hoosiers here?
I'm telling you, man. We are just a...
Hey, man.
Listen.
Purdue or IU?
We're immediate connection.
IU.
Oh, all right. Son of a bitch.
I like it.
Goes.
I like it.
There it goes. Boiler up. Well, there we go. Now we got our first fight.
That's all right, dude. That's all right. Fights,
lovers quarrel.
Bring people together.
It's either IU or Purdue. You can't like them, but it's one or the other.
What about Notre Dame? Where's that falling?
Who the hell's Notre Dame?
I honestly forget they even exist.
Me too. I don't even know who they are. These guys are lame. Who's they're in Northern Indiana?
I like none of them.
I thought they were Irish.
Nobody cares about that. Stupid. Well, listen.
This is going to be fun. We're going to get nothing accomplished on this.
It's going to be amazing.
And here comes Hunter Ballou.
Now we got Hunter throwing a beach ball.
What's up, Hunter? Shout out.
Trying to jack with us. Oh, my God.
RoofCon 2021.
We got shirt cannons going off, beach balls flying around. How are we supposed to do a show around here? We're supposed to be professional.
This is too much fun.
I know, man.
I don't get it.
It's a good time.
Can we get
it's
down to business?
Time. Yes, we can. Let's get down to business. You know that song? Is that TikTok song?
I've heard that song.
That's
Avicii, isn't it?
I don't know who it is, but I heard that song.
It's an old person song, Chris.
Anyhow, okay, we got my man John Dye on, who's a founder and executive producer of the American Contractor Show, which, listen, man, that's actually how I found this. You remember that story?
Yeah.
How I learned about RoofCon was somebody had brought me, or told me about, actually, one of our big private equity players that bought a roofing company, the guy who the roofing company I went to meet with, who is now a customer of ours, mentioned RoofCon. And so I just went to YouTube, and I looked, and I found the show on, you know, I watched it, and it was you and Hunter.
Yeah.
Hunter says, you take the T out, it's Hunter.
Hunter.
And so I watched it,
you know,
and I kind of...
Someone called him Andre the other day.
Andre?
We were in the Chick-fil-A Chick-fil-A drive-through a couple of days ago. He wanted to get some Chick-fil-A before the show started, and so we're in the drive-through, and he goes, you know, they ask your name. And the guy's standing right there, and Hunter said Hunter like three times. And the guy's like, Andre? And so I'm in the driver's seat, so I finally like, Andre.
Yes, let's Andre,
go.
Let's go.
So Hunter is now Andre, officially.
We need to know that.
Yes, work on that. Keep that in mind.
Thanks to Andre Ballou for putting on the show for us. We appreciate that. And by the way, Chick-fil-A, Tasty. Not endorsed. Do love Chick-fil-A, though.
You do.
Well, listen, man, thanks for being on the show. And I love yours, man. Like I told you, that's what originally attracted me to all this stuff was I kind of got to hear what RoofCon was really all about and its core values. You asked some great questions. And then once I found out you were from Indiana, it was game over. It's game over. So I'm actually excited to have you on, excited to get your insight. And so what we always do to tee this thing off is just try to let our guests talk about, you know, one, how they got in the trades, because this is obviously a trade-specific podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
But how'd you get into trades, and then kind of, you know, where are you at today? Like, what all are you doing today?
Yeah, so kind of an interesting story for me. I'm a little bit, been in the trades now for a while. Born and raised, fourth generation, originally from Chicago, though.
Fourth generation?
Yeah, man. So my father was a GC growing up. He was a commercial general contractor in Chicago. And my grandfather was a bricklayer, mason. And then my great-grandfather was a blacksmith.
Wow.
And, you know, that's as far up as I can go. Like, I'm sure I could go further, but...
Blacksmith?
He was a blacksmith.
That's gangster.
Like, there's an anvil.
That's
gangster. In my family, that's somewhere. I wish I could get it. I would love to have it on the show. That's, I think, so it'd be awesome for the set.
Cubs or Sox before we...
Cubs, bro.
Okay.
Come on, Cubs.
I'm a Cardinals fan, so...
you and my wife beat along great.
Wait a second. So does this mean that you're Bears or Colts?
I'm actually Colts, man.
Colts?
That's better. That's a better move.
Yeah. So... by the time my family moved to Indiana, I was like 13.
Gotcha.
So I wasn't into football yet. And so when I got into football, it was a Peyton Manning era.
Yeah.
So it's all easy, bro. It was easy.
Carson Wentz.
Edgerrin James, Marvin Harrison.
Oh, man. It was such a great time.
Yeah.
Such a great time.
Those were good years.
And I miss those years.
Don't forget Dwight Freeney.
What is it, 0-3 right
now?
Well,
we were texting. Remember, I was tailgating Colts game for the Seahawks game. And I was with Aaron Christie and the Indy Roof guys, Jim Johnson, all these guys were all hanging out. And Jim Johnson's wearing, like, a Green Bay Packers jersey.
That's not what you don't do that.
Yeah, no. He did that during the tailgate at the game. It was very, very obnoxious. But it was funny because you were at another game.
I was at the Titans. You Cardinals the Titans game in Nashville. Game.
Yeah, that was cool, though. So I thought maybe Chris is around. I got an extra ticket. You know, we'll see. But
that was cool. I appreciate you asking. Yeah, I was in Nashville for that Cardinals game because I was going to go. My original plan was I'm going to go from there up to your top rep.
Yep.
But I was like, after that, I was like, we celebrated a little too hard.
Well, that's what happens. That's what happens.
Cardinals put a hurting on the Titans to open up the season. Hell yeah.
Yeah, they did. That's for sure. That was good for the Colts. But then the Colts still haven't done anything.
Yeah, so now it's not really going to matter. That's,
I mean, hopefully it matters.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. Because now that they went the opposite direction after that Cardinals game and tearing it up.
I know.
So, so let's keep going down your little path here. And then, and if you would, reference the year just so we can kind of see timelines.
Yeah, so 2000 is when we moved to Indianapolis. My dad decided to... sell the business in Chicago, moved to Indy. He was going on a different path, trying to get into some ministry stuff, going to seminary. So when he did that, he needed to make some extra cash and didn't want to go back into like full-blown commercial general contracting. Time was limited, whatever else, and he somehow stumbled onto roofing sales. Learned about storm damage, all that kind of stuff, and realized that this was a really easy sale that you can accomplish. And so back then in 2000, it was a little bit different with the insurance companies and the way things were structured, because any insurance work that we had done up until then was very lucrative. And so he knew the numbers were good. He understood that world a little bit. He actually used Xactimate, which is the insurance, the software that they use. Yeah, he used it in the 80s. I didn't even know that. I learned that recently about my dad. He told me that. I thought that was really cool.
That's progressive, man.
Yeah, it was like WaterMitt and DOS computers. Like I don't even know
floppy
how.
Floppy disks.
Yeah, floppy disks, like the big ones. Yeah, that was a whole other world. So, but he told me that. I thought that was really cool because they were still using, you know, they were starting to use stuff back then. But so that kind of led us into the roofing space. And I went a kind of a different direction, did some car sales stuff, owned some car dealerships, got married, moved away. Traveled around the country, ended up moving to Ohio, and I came back into the industry again, and I started selling roofs because kind of was in the same situation. I had sold my car dealerships. My wife and I had moved from North Carolina to Columbus, Ohio, and I was like, what am I doing to make money? And one of my buddies happened to GM a roofing company, so I went to work for them and got in right as a storm was hitting. Got in the storm world.
Became an order taker.
I signed
that's
nine
not sales,
contracts.
John.
I know. I was proud of it. I signed 9 contracts my first day out, and I'd never done that before in my life. I'd never sold roofs.
Felt good.
It just felt good. Yeah, it felt real. Like, I made stupid money in one day, and I was like, oh, this is cool. This is me.
I can do this.
And so kind of my story is a little bit different, though, because once I started to get these insurance companies to give me their scopes and do all their stuff, what a lot of the sales reps were doing was they were just taking whatever the insurance company gave them, building the roofs, doing all the trades that were involved, and then, you know, figuring out their numbers later. Like, they were very, it was a really weird sales cycle that when I saw the numbers, I'm kind of a detailed guy when it comes to estimates. Like, because I grew up around change orders and money and, you know, watching like how people can do things. And the golden rule in contracting as a child, listening to dad talk and mom, you know, about stuff is, and this is probably my grandfather taught my dad this and my great grandfather taught my great grandfather or my grandfather this, but you don't work for free, right? You get paid for all the work you do. And so as I'm going through these estimates, these Xactimate estimates, which I didn't know what they were at the time, I just saw line item estimates. I was like, why aren't they paying for everything? And so I started to ask the insurance companies, hey, I need drip edge. I need this. I need that. And what I was doing was I was supplementing, and I didn't know what that meant. I just knew that I was trying to get them to pay and add in all the extra stuff, which a lot of times equaled out to $2,000 to $4,000 on each job.
That adds up.
It adds up, big deal. So I'm getting the success. Other people in the office start giving me their files to work on because the sales reps are like, wait, John's making an extra $1,500 on that job in commission. I mean, that's a big deal. I've got 10 jobs here. That's $15,000 for me. So they started giving me all their stuff. Turned out I had a little niche that I didn't even know about, that insurance or that roofers weren't getting insurance companies to pay for everything that they were doing. So they were doing a bunch of stuff for free and not getting paid for it. So I ended up starting what's known as in the industry as a third party administration company or third party supplementing company.
Got it.
And that was like in 2010. So I started to work with other contractors, expanded that out, did a niche into that, ended up getting my adjuster's license at some point, chased a little bit of hurricane stuff, kind of ran this little boutique firm on the side, did a little bit more roofing, built a couple houses, did some other stuff, got distracted. And then finally one day I was actually managing a roofing company, and the owner of the company looked at me and said, John, he's like, you really, really like teaching, don't you? And I was like, I really do, because I was starting to teach contractors how to do what I did. And he said, I want you to make a decision. You either go teach or you run this company. And I said, I was kind of like annoyed by it because I was kind of ticked, but I knew.
Yeah, an ultimatum, man.
He gave me an ultimatum, and it was, but he knew what he was doing. And he's actually one of my closest friends. I literally just talked to him about 5 minutes ago. He's here. And he owns this big company. They do probably 30, 40 million a year. And they have branches all over the country. And so I ran a branch for him, and he did that. And it was because he saw what I was really passionate about,
so
and what
was
I was potential.
This is super very intentional.
Yeah, it was a very personal conversation that we had. And so he said, you know, I think you should go, because I had started to travel more and teaching these events. And so I ended up taking the travel thing. I was like, I want to go teach more. And that's what started Art of the Supplement. And
so
then,
what year is this? Just so I have some reference.
This is like 2017, 18.
Okay, got it. Okay.
So I'm out traveling around the country teaching contractors how to do insurance scopes. And then how to write the right things, how to supplement the right way.
I don't mean to interrupt you. So did you create an actual business for this?
I did.
Like a straight up LLC?
It's called Art of the Supplement.
Art of the Supplement. Okay, gotcha.
It was a brand that I created that I was literally having courses all over the country where I'm teaching it. Plus I'm doing like private, you know, training stuff, yeah, consulting work, and building these companies' supplement departments up.
Got it.
And so I ended up getting acquired by the largest third-party supplement company in the nation, which is Balance Claims. They're based out of Indianapolis.
Right, gotcha, okay.
And so Troy, Eric, those guys ended up becoming my business partners because we ended up trading out shares, and I took a piece of Balance. And last year during COVID, we started American Contractor Show. So it's a very new thing. It's only a little over a year and a half old. And it was started because of COVID. We started garnering some attention. We started doing some podcasting, some different videos with Art of the Supplement.
Yep.
But Art of the Supplement is so narrowly focused, and I wanted to help contractors on a much broader scale. Plus, you learn so much when you consult people, when you consult businesses, because you see so many different things, and you see things that work, things that don't work, and you have this view of the industry from a whole different perspective. And being at Balance, we had 800 clients.
I can't actually wait to dig into a couple of those things, what those are that you
and so
you see.
I learned all that. American Contractor was developed out of that. And earlier this year in April, Balance Claims got acquired by a publicly traded company, so we all got to cash out a little bit. And during that transition period, I got a hold of American Contractor Show, pulled it out of Balance. The other partners graciously sold it to me at a ridiculous rate. We worked out a really good deal, and it worked out really, because I mean, we were all having a pretty good exit at that point. So I was able to acquire ACS, and partnered with Jim Johnson, who is the contractor coach pro in the industry. He's a phenomenal guy. I'm more of a visionary, so I'm not very good at like
saying,
yeah, like I don't, yeah, I need a guy like Jeff El Patron, you know, to make things happen.
El Patron.
Integrators. Shout out to integrators. Connor, right. Love you.
Hey man, will you give a quick plug on American Contractor, just so our listeners want to give a listen.
It's all over YouTube. It was kind of funny. We've taken off actually on TikTok, which has been our craziest thing.
Yeah, that's been weird to hear all the TikTok stuff, but like my social team has been on it. Like, we need to do more. I'm like, this is going to sound bad. I don't even have it. My wife does. I didn't even have it.
But we have it.
I just don't know anything about it. I don't really put much effort into it. Didn't mean to derail you, but well, okay. Go ahead.
My team loves it. They're younger. They like it. They think it's cool. So they jumped all over it, made it a thing. Thankfully, Tesla is putting on Tesla roofs right now, and yeah, it's a roof system, so we were able to get some good coverage with that, which has helped boost it up. But we're basically all about celebrating contractors, making their lives better, elevating the industry, education. That's what we are. We're not about, you know, we get enough money to keep our doors open, keep our lights on, keep the bills paid. But at the end of the day, this is all about giving back to the industry.
That's perfect.
And so that's our whole mission. That's why we exist.
Well, that's why this exists.
Yeah.
Is exactly that.
I think we had that synergy.
We sure did. And so it was actually, this is where I tell this story 100 times, but, the only reason I started this thing was when Gary had said,
I know that sound.
You got to start the podcast, you know? And I was like, dude, I don't want to do a radio show. He's like, you're already looking at it wrong. It's not a radio show.
Right.
He's like, you just said to me, one of your core values is giving back and you can't work with everybody. This is how you give back. And he's like, and then he was helpful. So that part was helpful.
Bro.
But the whole intent was to give back and to see what it's become today is like pretty exceptional. It all has to do with our listeners and our guests.
Yeah.
I mean, our guests bring in great content. Our listeners are amazing. They're so loyal. And so it's fun to watch it grow. It's just become more of a full-time job. So now I got 2 full-time jobs.
I hear you, dude.
But I hear you. But I'm grateful, man. Like, anybody who's going out and your ultimate mission here is to, like, give back and serve, like, and that's what you're doing. Like, I can get behind that always, and I certainly want to be supportive of it. So congrats to you for getting that thing going.
Same, and I can't wait to get you on ACS.
Dude, so. I know. I totally stood you up. I'm like, okay. Damn it.
So well, you stood John up.
I'd rather you come to Indy anyways and we do something there.
I would love to do that. I will 100% do that.
So
we'll make that happen. So I want to go back to a couple things because I want our listeners to be able to get some good takeaways from this as well.
Absolutely.
And because you've been in business and you've also worked with a lot of businesses in this industry, you talked about, you know, you're going in and the reason this whole consulting thing worked out for you is because you're finding where there's misses.
Right.
Or you're seeing like different issues that companies are having. So what were some of like the common things that you were seeing from these guys that they were missing?
So I'm going to tell you the biggest part of our industry that I believe is broken. Okay. And that may be a little bit whatever, but I'm just going to...
When you say our industry...
The roofing industry.
Got it, okay.
Specifically the roofing industry, because the roofing industry is made up of pretty much 2 different sides of it. You have the retail side that's out selling retail jobs that don't experience a lot of storm damage, and then you've got the insurance restoration side. The insurance restoration side, though, is a massive part of this industry, okay? So both these sides are basically doing the same thing but different. One side basically replaces a roof.
One side is me. One side is not me.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah,
that's pretty much it. So one side's going to replace a roof when they need it. The other side replaces a roof when they don't necessarily need it, but they do need it.
What if you just did
it's
both?
Newer.
What if you just did both?
You can, but the problem is, so... When there's a storm, for example,
it's a different skill set.
It's a different skill set, and it's a different sales cycle. There's a different amount of pressure on the company that they now have this large influx of jobs that they have to take care of because of, like, Indianapolis. We've gotten hit with some storms in the last couple of years.
Yep.
So a lot of the indie companies are exploding in revenues, but those revenues are based on storm work. And so they're really busy right now. They have this massive influx. And so next year, if there's no storms, what ends up happening, that company's going to shrink down a little bit, right?
Yep.
It's going to change the way that they operate. So
that's the problem I'm trying to solve, by the way, just so you know.
That's what I'm hyper-focused on. Yeah,
we're
in the same boat. We're trying to solve this same problem. And it's a terrible influx, and it makes for a really hard deal. But, you know, I have a lot of friends that have been doing this for a long time, but I feel like, number one, we have a bad approach to the storm game to begin with. I have a good friend. Her name is Jen Silver. I don't know if you've met her yet. She's here at the show somewhere. She does, she's in Utah, but the way that she does, she treats every deal like it's a retail deal. So in other words, when
she walks, you mean the storm, like when the storms come through, she treats it like retail.
She treats it like a retail deal, even though it's not a retail deal. She treats it as such, because the problem is contractors, especially roofing contractors, have taken on the role of insured advocate, almost like a public adjuster should do. Contractors have taken that role with the way that they supplement, the way that they write things, the way that they approach the job. They're there to, they almost feel like they're there to represent and help the homeowner get that claim approved, which is completely outside of the realm of a contractor, right?
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp's deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
And so that's been a big, that's what led us into supplementing, doing some of the stuff that we do, is because contractors had this massive desire to fill that role. And now looking at it in 2021, it's a totally different world. And the way the insurance companies are basically at war with us now, because they feel like we have essentially gone out, marketed to those customers specifically, created this point where now they're paying out all this money in claims that, and then we supplement it and we try to, you know, this is the whole reason why we exist. Okay. Why supplement companies exist is because insurance companies have guidelines and they brought those guidelines back to basically cover less of the roof. So that's a massive problem. So what Jen does, and what I've seen a lot of the contractors starting to do, is instead of them treating it like it, which you got to think too, an insurance claim, by the way, your sales cycle on an insurance claim is going to be 3, 4, 5 months sometimes.
Right, yeah, longer.
Which it takes a day to do a roof. Okay. It's not like a whole big project, but it becomes this massive project. So think about the time.
If you're doing a bunch too, you're sitting, well, you better be cash. You better have some decent cash flow.
You got to have decent cash flow because you're carrying a lot.
Yeah.
But not just that, but your sales reps have to have decent cash too. Everyone's stressed out by the cash because your sales cycle is massively long.
What's normal for like the sales guys to get paid out? They sell a roof, they get paid out.
Well, that's a whole other problem in the industry.
Okay, then don't derail.
Keep going. Let me not derail, because that's another, we could go into a whole rabbit hole into that.
And by the way, listeners, when he says retail, he's essentially referring to residential. So just so I can get the verbiage right.
I'm not going to get into commercial because that's a whole other thing too. So on the residential retail side, so they're selling it. So what Jen does is she says, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Homer, which also the other thing that homeowners are scared of is that a contractor is going to come, knock their door, sell them the idea, get the insurance company to pay for it, and then the contractor is going to take that first check from the insurance company, and they'll never see them again. Okay, so that's another thing, because anytime that happens, which it happens not that regularly, but when it does happen, the media is all over it.
Does it happen more so when storms happen?
Oh, 100%. Because storms attract a certain
chasers,
right? Chasers, yep. People that are unscrupulous, different stuff. So those people, when they get involved, it becomes this whole thing. So they're worried about that. So what Jen does is she's like, look, she comes in with a fresh perspective. She says, listen, we're not going to actually do this job based on the insurance proceeds, based on the insurance check or anything else. I'm going to finance the entire thing. All right. So when the insurance company approves your roof, if this is what's going to happen here, you'll take that money and you'll put that in your bank account. We're going to do a 6 month same as cash, whatever, 12 months, you get Green Sky, whoever involved, whatever finance company she wants to use. And then she basically tells the homeowner, you keep your money. We're going to retail this whole thing out. We're going to finance the whole job. And she has actual cost analysis on what the job should cost. She's not going off of the insurance numbers. She's coming off of her actual numbers that she knows.
That's good.
And she's like, okay, so let's say for example, the job on the retail side costs $12,000 to produce. The insurance company's only paying $10,000. Okay. Great. It's going to cost 12. Here's the breakdown of that job. If there's upgrades involved in that, she has it parsed out. And the reason she does that is so that the insured can then take that job, say, I paid $12,000, Mr. Insurance Company. I did not upgrade anything. This was just to get the job approved. Here's, and the homeowner's taking this the invoice, not the estimate, the actual cost that was incurred because the homeowner incurred the cost, right?
Right.
And they're taking it to the insurance company saying, this is what I actually paid. Hmm. Now the insurance company's saying, well, that's cost incurred. That's a different conversation now. Whereas before, everything was estimates and everything else. It's all nebulous, which estimates are guesses, you know, whatever else.
Guesstimates.
Right. So at this point, now the homeowner's like, look, I paid this much to get the roof done. You pay me. And she tells the homeowner, if there's any problems with that, here's a name and number to a public adjuster.
Wow.
You deal with the public adjuster. So now the homeowner does all of that. Jen shows up, gets the job done, gets paid a week later, a few days later, whatever, gets the finance company pays her. She's out. She's out in 1-2 weeks. Versus 4, 5, 6 months.
Got it.
And so this new model, this thing that's coming on, I call this like the next era of roofing. Whereas before it was I call what we did before the legacy way of doing it. So I've been traveling around the country and I've been teaching this. I call it the ultimate claim experience. And people are like, oh, they think they're just going to come learn about supplementing. Yeah, I'll teach you how to do supplementing. Sure. If that's really the model you want to use, we'll have some rebuttal training, some whatever.
It's more than that.
But then after lunch, they come back in and then Jen Silver gets out there and says, that's cool, but this is what I do. And here's a woman that owns a roofing company and is having massive success. The homeowners love her. She's targeting her customer, her ideal customer, and she has this amazing pipeline of work, and she's not having to, you know, mess around with the insurance companies.
Dude, that's amazing.
Jeff?
Like, what could be some
potential? How can we get Jeff traveling with John Dye?
Let's go.
Let's go, man. Road, bro. Sales training 101, baby.
I got some other
baby.
Things in the works, too, so we'll talk about that.
We'll talk. Yeah. We'll talk.
This is exceptional. Like, so, that's a lot.
I'm sorry. That was probably a lot.
No. I'm saying what you're explaining is a lot for an owner to think, like, to be able to think about.
It's a paradigm
when
shift.
When you're still probably the majority still wearing multiple hats.
Right. But the owners that grasp onto this concept, like, I mentioned it slightly during the marketing breakout. And I don't even know how I got onto it, but I said something. Because I'm excited about this. I think this is actually really cool.
Well, it's super clear.
It's super clear.
I feel the passion.
I've had like 5 or 6 people be like, where's Jen? I want to talk to Jen.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
And I'm like, so Jen's been hanging around talking to people about this the whole show. And it's been really cool to watch this happen.
Does Jen work for you?
No.
She has her own company?
She has her own company. Here's the thing, dude. Like, and this goes back to my core belief in what we are all about. I mean, if anything, Jen could potentially be costing me money. I don't know, because if you look at how her model will affect the industry, my model goes completely against her model as far as a supplementer goes. Supplementers, they probably don't want it, contractors doing this, because that really puts them out of business.
Yeah, that's right. I guess that would be.
But you know what? I don't care. I want the contractors to be successful.
Rising tide raises all ships.
That's
100%
for you. So people looking at this model, like, I'm sure people are going to be listening going, wow, that's a paradigm shift for me. What are some potential pitfalls that they might encounter?
And this is where contractors get a little bit sketchy. And I think it's a mindset thing.
Yeah.
Okay. They've been doing it this way because of a scarcity mindset. They think, okay, well, we're going to keep... They think, well, why would that homeowner want to finance it? They don't not want debt. They don't want this. They don't want the other. When in reality, they're not thinking in terms of what a consumer really wants. They've never given the consumer that option. They've just always done it this way, and they think that's the way it's got to be done. And it's such a wrong mindset. But if they do run into a pitfall, what's a pitfall? Maybe they don't get their credit approved.
Okay.
Okay, so at that point, maybe you have a legacy program that you can use that does it the old way. Okay? That's really the only pitfall I can see they run into. If they have a credit issue or they have some other reason why the job wouldn't get approved. But at the end of the day, though, for Jen, she just turns them down. She says she turns down about 25% of the work she does because she knows that that job, even though she can go down the legacy path, the amount of time it's going to take to do that job is going to cost her money.
Love it.
Got it. One thing you said that always like drives me crazy is when somebody says, well, this is how we've always done it.
Right.
This is how we've,
look, that's the mindset here.
Well, that's where, like I told you, man, when I went to IRE and I went and was just kind of listening to people talk and hearing and going and listening to some of the different marketing companies and going and visiting different vendors, I came back, or Jeff and I were there, I was saying, I feel like it's so behind than what we're used to. And that's what really led me into feeling like I could genuinely make an impact. Like, from a lead generation standpoint, yes, mine's going to be retail focused, and we're already doing exceptionally well at it. But what I'm learning from this is that it's the adapting, like people wanting to adapt and do it. And I put this in my presentation the other day, and I believe it, and I talk about it in my own company, and it's a simple little phrase, and it says complacency has no vacancy. We always got to be moving forward. I don't care what it is. Like I also say no zero days. And a lot of our swag, we have no zero days on the back. And what that means is that I don't care what it is. Like everybody's learning a lot of shit here. And there's no way you're going to even retain 60% of the shit that you got. And you certainly got to go implement all of it at the same time.
Yep.
But you got to do something every day. And even when I say no zero days, it's not even always just professionally. It's like even personally. Like, hey, don't hit the fucking snooze button that morning.
Yeah.
Get up and go do something. But for God's sake, don't be complacent. That's when you start to get your ass handed to you and you don't keep moving forward. And those that aren't are going to keep moving past you. So, but all this stuff that you're sharing is just a whole nother level or layer of things that we don't even talk about. That you have to focus on as a listener because they're contractors.
Right.
I'm not. I've only got one job to do, and as a digital marketing company I got to bring in new customers for them. That's my job. A lot of shit behind it, but that's just one little piece of what has to be done to continue to grow your business and scale it and scale it profitably.
Well, and I look at our industry and I look at industries like HVAC. I know you're big in HVAC, and I've studied them a little bit, and I like learning more about other verticals. I think it's fascinating to me, and
that's what I'm doing here. Like I'm fascinated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I want to go to some other shows too and get to know some other stuff. So we'll probably talk about that too. But I feel as though like the roofing industry as a whole is still very antiquated. We're still doing things. I mean, the way that we're doing it today is the way my dad was doing it in 2000 when he got into the industry. Nothing has changed other than the insurance companies have changed the game a little bit, but the approach that contractors have taken has not evolved. It's the same approach, the same mindset, the same idea. Back then, they didn't have financing options like they do today.
Isn't that so frustrating?
It's very frustrating.
It's frustrating in a good way. It's frustrating on behalf of them.
On behalf of the homeowners.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating because they're giving their homeowners a bad product.
Yeah.
And not only that, but this is where contractors don't understand. Like, based on the old model, like, you are going to have a very hard time scaling a business using that model. It's very, very, very difficult. You're right. It takes a lot of cash. It takes a lot of patience, a lot of discipline to make it work. And that's the biggest thing. We don't have that discipline in our industry because we're not really that professionally trained. We're cannibalized. Okay. So, and what I mean by that is...
I've heard this a lot. I've heard it a ton. It's something I learned actually really quick.
Yeah, we cannibalize ourselves all day, every day because of the way that we employ people, the way that we sign contracts, the way we don't W-2 anybody. We make the project manager, who's a sales rep, do every part of the job. So what do they end up doing? They start their own company using the exact same tactics from the company that they just learned from, but even worse sometimes. And so it's like this whole...
We talked about this at IRE, didn't we?
I don't know.
I'm 100% sure we talked about this, because then you start talking about... I think you're the second person that had told me that, and then we start talking about how the sales guys get pissed that they're not making the same commission. They'll go off and do their own thing, too.
That's literally what they do. And so it becomes this cycle of just terrible companies all over the place. And so the second that we become better at what we do, the companies that are better are the ones that are scaling and actually growing. We have a company that's about to... do over $100 million after their last acquisition.
We call those the 5%ers.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Chuck Tokey, the guy that partnered with us on Top Rep, is one of the sales coaches. I mean, the company he comes from, they're like $180-190 million a year, and he helped build that company. He was a VP of sales there. And so, like, but you look at their model, it looks nothing like the rest of the industry.
I got to meet him, by the way. Is he coming to the thing tonight?
Possibly. He was here last night. I wish he could have met him.
Well,
he was here yesterday.
He reached out to me to connect, and I mean, obviously here it's like difficult.
Yeah,
I get it.
We can connect with him.
All right, cool.
No, I'll make sure that happens because I'm very close to him, so he's a great guy. But his whole model is the same way too. Like what I just said, that's literally the way they do it at the big company. That's literally the way that they do everything. That's the way that they process things because they know that money loves speed, and then it's got to go fast. It's got to happen. You can't be sitting around. Like, I got guys that are walking around here. They told me that they were phenomenal sales reps, and they did like $1 million in sales and roofing sales. And I'm like, come on, $1 million a year? Like,
that's weak.
That's weak, man. Like, there's one guy walking around here I know that does like 8.
Damn.
So, I mean, like, at the end of the day, one sales rep does 8. And I'm like, you know, this is actually a very, very easy industry to make a lot of money in if you know how to do it the right way.
Hey, help me understand this real quick, just for our listeners' sake, too, because we have a lot of guys like, there's actually a ton of crossover between, like, what I'm going to consider our world, which is HVAC, plumbing, electrical, and roofing. We're noticing there's a ton of crossover.
Right, totally.
So with, like, guys who are going out and doing AC sales or furnace sales, it's essentially the same thing as roofing sales.
Yeah.
But what does a guy who sells $8 million, like a sales guy, typically make?
If you're doing $8 million, you're probably going to make $4 or $5, maybe $1 million a year.
No shit. That's yeah. But an $8 million person is like grind.
That's very,
that's one percent of fine.
Yeah. That's top one of one.
One. Got it. Okay. So, but what's like an, what's more average?
If you're doing $1 million a year, you're probably going to take home about 80. Okay. 80 to 120.
And that's a decent living, man.
And honestly, $1 million in roofs is literally like 100 jobs.
Got it.
It's okay. Not that much, and 100 deals is pretty easy to get.
Yeah, so then I would take the 100. Obviously,
that's,
take the 100.
That's two deals a week.
Yeah, so
it's two roofs a week.
I'd drill down. That's exactly how I would look at it, and that'd be my KPI in place. I'm like, what I got to do to hit that? Hit those numbers. Exactly. Except then I would double it.
Chris
then,
is already doing the math in his
head. That's the magic number for every sales rep. Every sales rep wants to make 100K.
Yeah.
100K. How do I get to make 100K? That's a no brainer in roofing sales.
I think that's the barrier in sales. Everyone thinks everyone's making 100K.
Everyone thinks 100K is a magic number. When it's really not, but everyone thinks it is.
Well, I mean, that would, I'm always a visionary thinker. So that would be like if I sucked, I would end up there. That's how my brain works. So, but I know not everybody's wired like me, but I do think that what matters is, and we'd had a few of these conversations about like brand equity in a market, is you want to like who you're working for.
Yeah, 100%.
You want to know that like they're doing things to constantly make their business better, not just flying by the seat of your pants. Because the whole sell it to grow your business thing, like that runs out at some point. Mm-hmm. It's got to be more than that to be successful. So what I'm learning is like this cannibalistic nature of the business actually could easily be solved if they started to focus more on working on the business versus in the business. Yep. You know what I mean?
Well, I look at guys like Dustin Beigler, Apple Roofing.
Yeah, Apple.
Okay. Yep. Apple's one of my best friends in the industry, right? He owns 60, 70 trucks that he owns, that he leases to himself, to his business. He owns them in a leasing company that he then leases to himself.
Smart.
Every sales rep has
good CPAs.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. He has some phenomenal CPAs. So every business or every sales rep, I'm sorry, has their own truck that they get from the company. They are W-2 employees. They have laptops, you know, cell phones. Everything is company given to them. They're employees.
Yeah.
And they're happy. Yeah. And they make their top producers maybe do 150, 200 a year.
And I bet you has minimal turnover.
Minimal turnover.
Jeez.
Great.
Coincidence?
People. Nope. No, we know this. And that's the thing. Like, we know it exists. But then you look at every other company where if I'm a sales rep, I have to buy my own truck. I got to wrap it. I'm using my cell phone. I'm using my laptop, all of my own equipment, my ladders. Maybe the company gave me access. And some companies I know charge their sales reps, which are actually contractors, their own independent contractors. They have to run their own business,
pay their own taxes.
Then they get in trouble with that. And so, like, all those things just add up to, like, the perfect storm of... Because sales guys are not good at paying taxes.
It seems short-sighted to me. Like, from a business owner's perspective, I actually... This is going to sound bad, but I don't mean it bad. I actually want to control that person in my job.
Well, that's what they want, too, though. Most of the time.
Who's
the sales rep.
Okay, gotcha.
The sales rep wants
that. They want to control their own thing.
No, the sales rep wants... someone else to control their stuff.
Oh,
for
gotcha,
them.
Gotcha, gotcha. I see. So they just want to be like, yeah, here, go here and go do. Like,
you take most of these sales reps and you put them in a position to where they have a very, very easy track to run on. That's very defined. You just put you on the track and you go down the. Put some blinders on. Focus on your job, and you find that most people are pretty happy that way.
Yeah.
If you're making six figures and you have minimal stress and you don't have to worry.
And you got your benefits.
You got
your
gas card. You got benefits. You got other things. You go home every night. Those people are happier.
100%.
100%.
And you work harder and you're more productive when you're happier. Yep.
100% versus our model where, and I hate to like, I don't want to seem like I'm trying to rip on my industry, but I do want to like.
Well, no. You're just creating awareness.
Creating awareness.
Well, or drilling down awareness, I should
say. Frankly, if I didn't care, I wouldn't say it.
Yeah.
So I care. And that's the reality.
Like, you're coming from a place of you're actually trying to correct it.
I'm trying to help bring awareness.
Right. Giving 100%. Back is what you're doing.
Yeah. And so when you look at it, though, if these guys are stressed out all the time, trying to get their numbers, trying to go out and sell jobs, knocking on doors, or even that's not even a terrible thing, but they got to make their truck payments. They got to make this. They got to do that. They got to pay their own health care. They've got to pay their taxes. Are you really making that person successful?
Yeah. That's good.
You're causing them, I think, more harm than good half the time.
Yeah.
John, why do you see that? Is it just, like we talked about before, this is just the way that we've done it, and people are not evolving? The average business owner is not the Apples of the world?
That's a big part of it. I feel like it's lack of education.
Yeah.
It's lack of desire to want to upsell. It's, frankly, it's also, I don't think they're making enough money.
So quick follow-up
on their stuff.
Interesting.
I think the owners aren't making enough money. I think the sales reps are taking, because of the way that they structure it, and because they're not doing it retail, they're doing it for insurance proceeds. The insurance companies are squeezing the crap out of the industry. So at the end of the day, if a business owner feels tight on cash, they shouldn't, but they do because they're not, they don't know how to sell. They don't know their numbers. They don't really know all this information. They're just basically cash flowing this business instead of actually having good numbers. Very few of these companies at the end of the day, they may have large revenue numbers, but they really don't have, like, they don't know their profit margins really are.
So they rob from Peter to pay Paul?
Bingo.
Do you feel like because now we're in the information age that business owners will start to change because information is so prevalent? You know, you talked about the system that she put in place that's working now. You've got podcasts. You've got mastermind groups. Do you feel like the industry will start to turn because information is so readily available?
I feel like part of the industry will start to turn.
Yeah.
And there's definitely, there's a part of it that's really hungry for this. They're ready to go.
And those will be the most successful.
Yeah.
100%. There's another side of the industry that will probably never embrace it. And that part of the industry always goes out of business.
You know what's interesting is we kind of have to have that.
Yeah,
you actually 100%. Have to have that.
You got to have that balance. And so it's unfortunate and it's sad, but it's what it is. It's the reality. That side of the industry is probably never going to evolve and become the side of the industry. They're never going to learn that.
Did you hear me talk about my 95-5 rule? At all?
Was that during, when did you say that?
My keynote. It was a keynote.
During the keynote. Okay. I think I was on the back with Hunter. We were hanging out.
I talk about this 95-5 rule, which is kind of along those lines. And it's been accurate, at least the 15 years I've done these. I've literally done hundreds of keynotes and breakouts and all this shit and been in the industry this long. It's still the same thing. This 95-5 rule is a theory that no matter how I walk out there or any of these speakers come out there or they meet with you and you give them facts on how to move the business forward and like even tactical takeaways, a box they can check that's easy. You just got to go and implement it. Even if it fails, you just got to go implement it. Most still won't do anything with it.
Yeah.
95% 100%. Of the people will do nothing with what you gave them. Their ambition is there, but the action doesn't match.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the 5% that do are the ones that become the most successful. And I didn't say the biggest. I just said the most successful companies.
And that's measured so differently. 100%.
What gets measured gets managed. So
I'm
on board with that. And I think that, but in some odd way, in order for the 5%ers to continue to be successful, we still need that 95% to not do shit, which is kind of weird. I want everybody to do it. It's just that I know over the time, it's just not the way it works out. I wish that number would start to go from 95 to 90 to 85 and then everybody could do it. But it's not happening, man. I've been trying to do what you're doing right now for 15 years in my own world, like really trying to be like, please listen to me. I've now got 15 years worth of working with some of the biggest badass home services contractors that do exactly what I'm telling you to do. And even if you take one or two of these things and implement them, that's so ridiculously easy. It's going to grow your business and make you more profitable without spending another dime.
Well,
and people still don't do it.
You know what? And I think part of that too is there's a lot of people that have approached this space like that what we're doing with bad intentions.
Sales mindset.
Yeah. Exactly. And so there's RoofCon and then there's other stuff.
100%.
And the other stuff has a whole different approach to this, and they're tired of that, and they don't take it seriously because they've been burned so bad by this other side of the industry.
That other stuff approached me, and I went with RoofCon. Just so you know, did you know that?
I didn't know that, but I have a lot more respect for you now because I know what you're referring to, and I feel the same way. So
and it's obviously large.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, you know what? This year, this is just about as big if
so good
right there. And well, next year we'll eclipse it.
It didn't matter to me. Like the matter to me was like, who can I ride with that's got my same values?
I think there's more hunger now for this than there is
I think
for
so
that.
Too.
So
it's getting old.
Yeah, it is. Old. It is getting old.
Moving on.
Just
moving
don't on. Say you respect Chris more. Just don't.
I don't respect Chris more.
Thank you.
Everything else, less.
John. Everything else you said, I agreed with.
Jeff.
Oh no!
Shut up, Jeff. Well, listen, man, we're about 40 minutes into this podcast, but you're sharing a ton of stuff too. I want to make sure that you know that I have give our listeners the opportunity to connect with you if they want. If you're cool with that,
yeah, for sure, man.
So obviously, you know, make sure you check out American Contractor. So the American Contractor Show, but also like actual contact info. So even if it's just an email, you know,
his
cell phone number is 867-530-309.
That's it. Call that number all day long.
What's your email, John? Go ahead and share it with our
listeners. If they want to email me directly, it's John, J-O-H-N dot Dye, D-Y-E, at acmediateam.com.
acmediateam.com. Yeah. Cool. We'll tag you on it.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that. And, you know, if there's anything we could ever do, like, we want to learn more. We want to share the best things out there. When we learn something new, we automatically vet it, and we make sure it's great, and then we kick it out. And thankfully, we have Contractor Coach Pro. We have Top Rep. We have all these things that are designed to help with that. But we want to make sure that we get the right information out there.
You know, I think what I was just sitting here thinking, Jeff, we got to make some connections with some of our big players too, to see if that, because they're still learning too. Like we're so heavy HVAC, plumbing, electrical, like these little things. I'm thinking like, man, if I can make that connection and that's something that connects the dots, one, it lets us continue to bring more value, even though we don't do it, which is why strategic partnerships exist. Well, we should make the connection.
And roofs are becoming smart, which is super weird to say, but with solar and all these new things going on, there's going to be a lot more interlap between our industries, I think, in the future.
Yeah, I think so
and
too.
And so we're going to become much more meshed and you know, aligned.
Well,
so
I 100% know it's going to. Basically, if I look at trending, I'm already seeing it. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, I start to see our players buying roofing companies. It's starting to become glaringly obvious that it's going to go that way. And the M&A market's going to be it's going to go heavy the next 2-3 years into buying roofing
companies. We're seeing it. I mean, we saw what happened with Cornerstone. We've seen what's happening across the world. I mean, Crest and Apple.
My customers, the reason I have them is because of acquisitions. So, like, my plumbing HVAC guys bought them and rolled them into the business.
Right.
So, it's been kind of neat to watch.
We're just now on the very front cusp of that.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, why I love that. And I love that you're here. I mean, I've been watching it. I've been seeing it happen, and I'm excited about what it's going to mean for the entire industry.
Well, man, listen, I'm grateful for your time. I know, obviously, you probably pulled you away, like, on the fly. So, impromptu. Okay, so, I mean, thanks for sharing your knowledge. Man, you crammed a ton of shit in a small amount of time.
Sorry, dude.
No. I'm grateful for that. I love it, man. We're like 42 minutes in. So, thanks, man, for coming on the show. I'm excited to share your show as well with everybody.
Thank you so much, man. You guys are awesome. You guys are doing a great job, and it's really an honor to be here. I'm humbled that you guys asked me to come by.
I'm grateful. Thanks, man.
Very enjoyable. Sounds like you and I will be doing a Zoom call soon.
Let's do it, man. Jeff's going to be traveling around the country here in no time. Him and Chuck are going to be best friends. Yeah. John.
Let's go, man. I'm down.
Listeners, listen, man, I hope you guys had some good takeaways there, too. And obviously, like, because we've been starting to pick up on the roofing contractors who listen to the podcast, and they're reaching out and continue to do that, because it's actually a nice affirmation for us to know that this is valuable to you as well. But, you know, you got to always look between business is business, regardless if you're HVAC, plumbing, electrical, roofing, solar, doesn't matter. There's a lot of the same practices that you can take place. We drilled pretty heavy into the roofing category, which is very purposeful for this particular episode. And I'm anxious to see the outcome of it.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you see what happens from in the communication we get. But please, man, we love it when you leave reviews. That's obviously the most rewarding thing that we get. It lets us know how it's going. And obviously subscribe and share with your friends and your family and your peers. And make sure your kids listen to it, because they're really going to love it. But listen, man, this is our last podcast we're doing live at RoofCon 2021.
Hey, you're it, brother.
We ended it with a bang with my homie, man. John Dye.
Save the worst for last.
Anchor.
Save the worst for last. Listeners, we are so incredibly grateful for you. If I could spit the fucking words out.
Yeah.
So incredibly grateful for you. And until next time, we'll see you. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a Rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe, and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review, and be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.